Sherry, one thing that Yancey mentions in the video is how an X factor adapts and responds to a situation that isn't planned or isn't anticipated. And I thought maybe we can move our conversation in that direction because that really stood out to me as she was talking about that. So as writing program administrators, we often find ourselves in positions like this, the unplanned. Something comes up and then we're called to respond. And often I think people are looking not just at what we say, but how we respond. I think that's really critical in our work as WWPAs. And Sherry, I was hoping maybe you could talk about how important this is, this X factor characteristic, this ability to respond to the unexpected, and then specifically to respond with care and compassion, which I have seen you do so well. How do you navigate difficult situations with compassion, with mindfulness, and with reflection?
Yeah, Shane. So I just want to say if the people are listening could see the faces on the screen, they would say that that's what this group of scholars here has done in their life's work. It means to show up and do the work. It means that we most days know that when we come here, we will not know what we're going to anticipate, wherever the here is and whatever those spaces might be. We also know that the regular work of these jobs start at 5 or 6 p.m. Because we come in all day long. There are lots of unknowns, right? And so I think that that's the nature of this work. And I know, Susan, I know you've re recently written a book on that, and hopefully you'll say a little bit more in a minute about that. But I think, Shane, to answer your question about this ability to show up with care and compassion, first means to listen. It means to just simply hear what people are really saying to you, because most of the time they are not saying the words of what they're really saying to you, right? What people's needs are and what is happening. We don't know how to do a lot of the work we're trying to do as young faculty or young scholars. We do not know how to negotiate or advocate for ourselves, as Duane recently talked about. And so Sheila's scholarship talks about specifically, it is our responsibility to do that advocacy and that work. It requires us to be vulnerable, and it requires us to say, "You're right. I messed up here. I need a mulligan. Please let me redo with you." It means to be humble and to try every day. It's work in progress, right, Shane? It's not like we got it all figured out and we show up on Wednesday and it's way better, right? We're still stumbling down sometimes on Thursday, and Friday we act a little bit nutty and we have to say sorry Monday morning again. So, I think that all of this is work in progress. And so I think about some of the things that my colleagues are saying here today. What have I needed as an administrator? And these faces on the screen with us, Shane, those are the people who have shown up for me as an administrator to help show me what it means to do the work of administration. They have extended to me the things I oftentimes didn't even know I needed extended to me. And whenever this work became difficult, they were the people who answered the telephone and helped provide an answer. I think even like, Kathy or Cheryl or sort of these lionesses of our field, right? The feminist scholars of our field who understand what it means to sit still with discomfort and listen and do this labor. So to mean to do anything with compassion and care, I think it means about the environment. And, one of you said a minute ago about the environment that we're creating. And self-care cannot occur without community of care. And that's what our scholarship teaches us, right? That an individual cannot exercise self-care. And that is a very privileged idea of self-care if those of us that help shape environments do not build environments of care. And so, I can call Sheila and she can say, "Yeah, I need you to take a step back, Sherry, take a breath." And so that sometimes is very helpful. When I was a brand new administrator, Shane, as a director of composition, I would call Duane sometimes and say, "Does this seem normal to you?" And he would say, "Yep." And I thought, "Well, how is this normal right now? I don't know why this doesn't seem very normal." And he'd say, "Yep, everything's fine." And so like I kept not knowing where the gauge was. And I think probably there's a lot that's happened for you in the past year where I just kept saying like, "Yep, it's all normal. Just keep moving forward." I think that these are really tough kinds of things for us. We don't know where the gauge is. We're dealing with human beings. We're in the business of humans, right? And so I think that that's a tough kind of thing to wrap our heads around sometimes is be flexible and supportive and listen and provide care and compassion to them. But also to position this job in all of that emotional labor, you know, it's with privilege that I say a lot of those things, because what this job looks like for Sheila, I think is very different than what it looks like for me. And I think that that needs to be noted and acknowledged. I say all the time, if I win the lottery, I'm still going to show up and do this job. And I mean that by teaching writing, being a part of this, being a part of the academy. To me, the best day of the year is graduation. It is to see these young people come together with their families and see what shoes they picked out and watch them take selfies. And I think there's something beautiful and lovely about those moments, but the moments inside our classrooms. What we're doing here is about citizenry, right? It is about how we build a democracy and how we build the ways in which we engage with each other. And at the very core, that starts with listening. And so I think as administrators, we have so much on our plates and we do things so quickly and we're trying to do things so efficiently. We just go too quick and we have to slow down, because it's the slowing down that allows for the compassion and the ability to step back and say to our own selves, I wish I had done better. I will try to do better and I will recognize when I didn't do as well as I needed to do.
I think gratitude is something that we often forget in this discipline. And I think we need to be grateful for the students who have shown up, for the colleagues who have shown up. If someone comes to me with a problem, you know, I may not know how to solve it, but I want to help them. I want to let them know in the first instance, I hear you. I really hear what you're saying. I'm listening. I'm here. I'm going to do everything I can to help you. I've written an article about, you know, preparing. How do we prepare, you know, females in particular, and people from underrepresented backgrounds for the types of unkind acts, the types of violence they may experience in classrooms. And I want people to know. And I always say to my teaching teams at the start of every semester, you know, if you don't learn anything from me, if you think I'm a terrible teacher, a terrible administrator, I always want you to feel like I stood up for you. Kathy represents this beautifully because we know how busy she is. We know how productive she's been. I've had this theory for years that she has cloned herself, because I know she's working on AI now as some of the rest of us are. And I have this secret theory that maybe she's cloned herself and there are a few Kathys out there doing all this work, because it's just humanly impossible, I think, to be able to achieve the things that she has. But the thing I love the most about her is her transparency. One of the things that she said to me early on, when I became president of WPA, and we were talking about some things, some issues, and she said, look, you know, you have to realize, you have to be transparent about your limitations. You can't pretend that you have everything under control if you don't. She said she thought back to when she had to make the decision that, you know, didn't feel she could be an effective parent and an effective administrator at the same time. I think she probably could have, because she does everything so well and makes it look effortless. But I think that, you know, whether it's parenthood or whether it's another challenge, we're facing, you know, all these demands on our time, and so are our students, so are our colleagues. And I think if we can be the person who steps in and just gives them that moment of space, like Sherry was talking about, you know, Sheila advising her to take a step back, just to take a minute, take a breath. You know, part of the goal of being authentic is being open to that and being willing just to be human for a minute, just to be together in our humanity with other people and to experience things from someone else's perspective.
Both Susan and Sherry have brought out a plethora of interesting and thoughtful concepts around this idea of the X factor of the unexpected, and dealing with those unexpecteds and navigating them in terms of a mindful way. And there are several things that I think about. And also, I think, Susan, you added the concept of advocacy as well. And you added the concept of sort of thinking about this in terms of listening as well. I think both of you mentioned listening as well. And one of the things that I think that has shaped a lot of what I've done, and it has to do with who I am and my positionality in higher education. I've pretty much always worked for PWIs. So I have to sort of think about how navigating that space works. And one of the key things that we were talking about, or that Kathy talked about, was this, the X factor of the unexpected in one hand, but then she was also talking about opportunities and networks at this at the other hand. And what I don't think people realize is that those go so nicely together. So every unexpected X factor that may beat me down and that may make me really angry or start making me question, like you were saying, Susan, this imposter syndrome and whatnot, start to question all of the reasons I should or shouldn't be here. If I sit in those moments, if I can sit in those moments long enough, I can start to think of them as opportunities, and opportunities to do all kinds of things. One, a lot of the things I think are opportunities to change what's going on for people like me, to be an advocate, to make space for those situations, and not always in the big upfront way where people are all talking about it and people say, oh, did you see her work about that? No, it's about those kind of quiet spaces. I do believe that a good deal of what we've seen in Kathy's work over the years are a little bit behind the scenes sorts of service and the behind the scenes way of helping to move situations forward. But I also think that we still, again, I keep thinking about what will this look like as we continue to think about these unexpected, some of the unexpected you deal with just at that moment, but some of those unexpected you need to sit in and start to think about what needs to change to make those unexpecteds, to think about all the ramifications of those unexpecteds, I should say. So we have, I'm teaching a course this quarter. I have a Black Studies course, and it's the introduction to Black Studies. And I it's the most fun I've had in a long time because, even the prep is exciting, right? And it's fun. And it's outside my realm of writing studies as an administrator, but it is in its own administrative realm. And when something crops up in that situation and I'm thinking about, okay, I hadn't planned for that. Okay, that's interesting. I also have to think about all the situations around that sort of thing. So if someone says something in class that may or may not help others to feel included in a way that they feel they can respond to it, I need to consider who needs space in this space, who needs advocacy in this space, and who needs to feel they're safe in this space because of various reasons, so that what happens is this, what it's doing is taking that unexpected, that X factor of unexpectancy to a point of opportunity. And I think the transparency that you talked about, Susan, is key in that. I've had lots of times where I've had to come back from meetings or, departmental meetings. I'll be like, okay, mess that up. So let's talk about what we want to do with this situation if we rethink it. But let's also think about all the yuck that happened and the seeds of those yucks, and that's when you work on those opportunities. Unless you tease out the seeds of the yuck, you are left to sort of just, you're constantly solving. And I think those networks of colleagues or friends or whoever you see are, that's important. It's important for all parts of our identity, our administrative identities. For me, I always have to have a group of colleagues, of BIPOC colleagues that I can sort of say, is this me or is this like crazy stuff, right? And they'll usually say both. And I'm okay with that, but I have to sit in that moment and I have to tease apart the parts that I'm just, my feelings got hurt, and the parts of, no, this is institutional. And this is bias, and this is affecting and hurting others. And when I think about that, then I have to consider, well, what opportunity, what can I change in that? What are my possibilities for changing either quietly behind the scenes or way up front and really taking a risk? And I think the cool thing about many of us here are that we're in senior administrative positions, or actually kind of somewhere in between all of that. And you can make those choices. And I do think that those choices are going to be important, particularly in terms of how you then navigate that next situation, that next X factor, is because they come out of the other X factors. And also thinking about, did I listen? Did I consider who needed some advocacy or support in that situation? Or was I so busy trying to cover up what I did or be embarrassed by what I did that I would not take the vulnerability or the time to say, this was bad and I did it and I know that. But beyond that, help me to understand, let's work together to think about how we can address the larger issues here. Let's figure out the first sorts of steps, but then let's think about why we're in an environment that this can occur. And what do we need to change in that environment so such activities don't occur in the same ways?
And so Sheila and Susan, if I can say back to you a little bit, I think everything I hear you guys talking about really is about Yancey's scholarship on not just reflection, not just about the metacognitive moments, It is about transfer, right? It is about how we are able to advance or move things forward. And one of you guys said something about the idea that the how we shape the field. And I thought a bit about how this field shapes us. And it is the scholars in the field that help shape us. And if we are met with resistance and pain, then oftentimes that shapes us in those kinds of ways. And when we are met with a little bit of kindness and compassion and opportunities for to do a little bit better, right? Maybe that is the mantra we march forward with, Shane. So, you know, back to your question, I think it's at the heart of what it means to do administrative work, whether we're doing it composition programs, writing centers, writing across the curriculum, department chairs, deans, provosts, what it means to run operations of this magnitude and size of places where, you know, international work that some of you guys are doing. All of that really is about the reflective, contemplative, rhetorical practices and our ability to understand or read that situation and, you know, to engage with each other. So, yeah.